Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to episode number 49 of Hardwick Sound. My name is Caleb, and joining me, as always, are my family. So let's get them introduced here. This is my lovely mother, Miss Carla Hardwick.
Good evening.
It is, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I'm glad to be here with you.
Thanks.
Also with us today is my younger brother, Seth.
Howdy.
Howdy. Howdy.
Wait, hold on. Am I in the middle?
Yeah.
That's strange. You went from far right. Or, well, it'd be your far left or your far right.
Yeah, we didn't go in a circular. We're going to make like a figure eight shape today. You okay with that?
I guess. I mean, you've already done it now, so it's not like we can change it.
Yeah, that's true. This is my older brother, Noah.
Hello.
Hello.
Can
How
we
are
make
you?
Like a figure nine instead?
Mama, how do you do that? You're the homeschool mom. You should know how to do that.
I don't think I taught nines.
Wow.
No. I've gone my whole life without using the number nine.
Mom, yeah, that's the real problem of being homeschooled is that you never get taught the number nine sometimes.
You have gaps in your education.
Actually, when I think of the number nine, I think of the Schoolhouse Rock where he's mean old number nine.
Yeah. I never liked that video because it had cats in it.
Yeah, and they were smoking. Smoking cats.
That's why I skipped number nine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why I'm afraid of cats.
Like, we'd be watching through the Schoolhouse Rock, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, and we always get up to figure skate eight. Whatever, what was it?
Yeah.
It's a figure skating eight.
Yeah, figure eight. It's great because you skate.
What? No, that's not how it went. Anyway, then we get to nine, then Mom comes up. No, we got to skip that one. One has smoking. We have to skip that one. And so we just went straight to 10.
Yeah.
Is it a cat because cats have nine lives?
That you know, that actually makes sense now that you mention it. But the fact that it's smoking, it probably lost a few. Smoking cats don't live out all nine lives.
No, they don't.
They don't.
Hey, what episode did you say this was?
Well, you know, that's a good question. There's actually a few special things I need to mention about episode 49, and there's one very big special thing about episode 49.
Yes, there is, because I am drinking my Dr. Pepper instead of a Coke, which isn't too awful different, but I'm using a straw.
Thank you. Thank you for letting us know that.
That's a very special thing about episode 49.
Yeah, so if there's anything special about episode 49 that you need to know for absolutely sure, it's that Seth is using a straw. But a few special things I want to mention about the number 49. So I was just Googling. If you go, you know, there's a Wikipedia page for each number.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool, actually.
What about 2,347?
I'm sure there is one, probably.
But I wonder what it says on number nine.
Well, I don't know about number nine. It probably says something about smoking cats. But I looked up episode number 49, as I often do, the number of episode that it is. I do that. I like to look it up and see what's special about it. And one of the things that was special about the number 49 is that it's famous for like Highway 49. Do you know anything about the junction of 49 and 61?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Well, educate
I'll give you a clue. We actually went there this summer.
Oh, yeah. It's where the big guitar
That's
stands.
Right. In Clarksdale, Mississippi.
Yes.
Yep. Highway, the junction, I should say it's the crossroads of Highway 4961 is the famous crossroads of music lore.
It's where the devil met
Robert Johnson.
And he sold his soul to the devil.
Yeah. To get rich and famous, which ironically he did neither before he died. He didn't get rich or famous until after he was already dead. So I'm not sure that deal worked out very well in his favor.
Well, you know, the devil probably had a clause in there somewhere in fine print that he forgot to read.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he did go on to become basically one of the most influential musicians of the 20th century. But,
true.
Yeah, anyway, that's Highway 49. We've been there, and I thought that was interesting that was on the Wikipedia page. Also, did you know... well, I mean, obviously, can you think of anything special about 49?
It's divisible by 7.
Yes.
And it's 7.
And 7 is a prime number.
Okay. I wasn't thinking. You know, I was just thinking, like, if you take our episodes, episode 49 is the square root of episode 7. If you multiplied episodes, this is how we do math here at Hardwick Sound. If you multiply that episode by itself, you get this episode.
This would make a lot more sense if you had heard last week's episode.
Would it?
Yeah.
2 weeks episode.
Was it 2 weeks ago that we had that episode?
They heard it. 2 weeks ago about prime numbers? Yeah,
yes,
they heard that.
They heard it.
Yeah, they remember our prime numbers. Also, 49. Do you know there was no baseball Hall of Famers who ever wore number 49?
Hmm.
I will remember that when I start my Major League Baseball career, not to choose 49.
Right.
I would choose it because then you could have that number and be the first player to have that number and be famous. So.
Could be. I want. Did Bad Boys get numbers?
We'd
have to ask Josh the Bad Boy. Anyway, but on the Cardinals end, you have Rick Ankiel. He was number 49.
Oh, yeah. I remember
Rick Ankiel, everybody's favorite
pitcher turned hitter.
Yep. So there you go. If you're a Cardinals fan, I'm sure you remember that one. But really the most important thing about number 49 is that it does not come after 47.
Actually, it
does come after 47.
Okay. It does not follow in immediate sequentially. Sequence. Yeah, after 47.
Well, that is true.
This is true.
I don't know. I'm still not sure of that, but go ahead.
Well, you can.
I think if you say it doesn't sequentially follow 47, it would depend upon the sequence, though. I suppose if you were skipping every other number, odd numbers.
Exactly.
It probably depends on whether you're skipping.
So from now on, we're just going to skip all even numbers.
I mean, I guess it depends. But here's the thing. I'm sure everybody is wondering how it is that this is episode 49 when our last episode was episode 47.
It's because the number 48 doesn't exist.
Yeah. It's like the number 9. It doesn't exist in Hardwick Sound. Yeah.
Yeah.
The episode 48 does not exist. It is a lost episode.
It is a lost episode.
We had it, but we forgot to lock the gate and leash it, and it ran away.
So there will never be an episode 48.
There will never be an episode 48 of Hardwick Sound.
Which is really sad, because that was like our best episode.
That was a great episode. We had a lot of fun recording it, but it
And we answered all your questions.
Yeah, well,
in that episode.
Yeah, and we'll get back to that, I think, later. But the question is what happened to episode 48?
It's just gone.
I think it was abducted by aliens.
Maybe. Maybe it did. Yeah.
I think it ran off to Mexico.
No. It was the Russians.
The Russians?
The Russians. Yeah.
It moved to Canada.
All we know is that episode 48 is gone. We
it's
don't know what happened.
It's been classified as top secret and is being stored at Area 51.
Yeah. Episode 48 at Area 51.
I like it.
That would have been the name of the episode if it existed, but...
It could be the name of this episode.
Episode 49, episode 48, Area 51. Yeah. If you like that, maybe we will. No. Sorry, folks. What really happened was it
disappeared.
It disappeared. We don't know what happened. Sorry. But anyway, episode 49. Here you go. This is it. So we're glad that we've made it back. Sorry for the delay. We had a rough couple of weeks, but the podcast is back. I liked it when the Tim Hawkins podcast went off the air for a while, and then they retweeted something that said, "Pod's not dead."
I'm gonna tweet that.
Yeah, you know. Don't worry. Hardwick Sound is not dead. It just had a rough couple of weeks. But we're back now.
Are we sure? Do we need to stop and check it?
It couldn't hurt.
Well... To be fair, we have two recordings going on right now. Surely one of them will work.
Right. Yeah.
So that way, if one of them packs up and moves to Canada or gets moved to Area 51, we'll have a backup recording.
Or the Russians get it.
Yeah.
Just don't tell Russia, Area 51, and Canada and the aliens and all that. Because we only have two copies, so they can't all have one.
Well, anyway, there were a couple of important things that happened in episode 48 before it ran away. One of them was that we've actually finally finished Miss Carla's well-known short novel based on her purchase of pumice.
Ooh, can I tell this story?
You can tell it if you can do it fast.
Okay, so the story is my mom was looking for pumice for a rock kit she's working on, and so she ordered it, and she checked before she ordered it with Wayfair to see if it would float, and they said, yes, this rock called pumice will float. Which I'm sure they got some weird thoughts about that. But hey, they said it would. So they shipped it, it showed up, and only about a quarter of them floated?
Yeah, 20%.
20% of it floated. So after contacting them and emailing them and all this and that, she got a hold of the a representative there at Wayfair who, after providing the email showing that they said that it would float, gave my mom a refund for the rock that wouldn't float.
That pretty much sums it up. What an tiny little detail to add to that. The representative at Wayfair said, now I'm going to contact the company that manufactures this pumice and let them know that their product was defective. And so a couple of days later, I get an email from the president of the company where they mine the pumice.
What was the name of this company? Pumice Arus?
No, it's Feather Rock.
Yeah, that's an oxymoron.
Yeah, Feather Rock is the name of it. And the president apologized for the misunderstanding that apparently they had explained to Wayfair that only a percentage of the pumice would float. The rest of it would not because it was actually more gravel than it was pumice. And so apparently Wayfair didn't relay that information to me correctly. So it was just a big misunderstanding. But yeah. I did get a refund for the rock because it was defective.
There are a lot of misunderstandings about rocks that float.
Yeah.
They're just very misunderstood.
It's amazing. Yeah. Those poor rocks.
Those poor rocks. So that's one thing we recapped in episode 48 before it got away. The other thing was we did some questions. We answered a number of different questions, and I think we'll go back and recap those in a minute. But first, anything exciting been happening to y'all? Noah, has anything exciting happened at work or anything else?
I feel like there was, but I've forgotten it.
Okay, then. Does anybody else have anything exciting they want to say? I have a funny story from yesterday, but...
I'm kind of excited.
Okay.
Because I'm in negotiations for another batch of pumice with a different company.
Is this one going to float?
They say it will. We'll see.
I think the most exciting part of my day was watching that video with the pogoers.
Oh, that was exciting.
Yeah. It was well worth a 45-minute detour from everything else we were doing.
That's okay. We were done anyway.
I can't remember what the name of the...
Ultimate Pogo Challenge.
Yeah.
Something like
just,
that.
Just fair warning, though, there is some sketchy language, so
yeah.
Heads up.
Well, everybody knows that pogoers have foul mouths. Like, that's just part of the stereotype of people who do pogo sticks, except for Commander Keen. He never really said anything. He just read a lot.
You know, that's a good point. Did he ever talk to the guys?
I don't know.
No, the Oracle people, I think he talked to them occasionally.
Maybe.
He'd go like, Mr. So-and-so Oracle, I found you.
Yeah, we're talking about the Commander Keen computer game.
Which just happens to be where our intro music comes from.
True that.
That's true.
And middle music and exit music. Basically, we just stole a bunch of music from them.
Pirated.
That's right. We didn't steal it. We pirated it. Very different.
Well, today I was actually looking on Craigslist for something, and I ran across somebody that had a pogo stick for sale.
Yeah.
And it got my curiosity because it said it was something like the Ultra Pro Pogo Stick. The guy had purchased it for his kid, and after getting on it, the kid wouldn't use it anymore because it terrified him because it went too high. So,
it also caused him to have a very bad mouth.
He started cussing when he got on the pogo stick.
Yeah.
So anyway, the guy on the Craigslist said, if you don't believe me, then watch this video. And he had a link to a video. So I went over and watched the video, and those guys could go really high on that pogo stick.
Yeah.
And they could do all kinds of cool tricks, and I thought it was a neat video.
It was a cool video, also, not just because of they were doing cool tricks, but just it was kind of cool that it was done as like a challenge.
Yeah.
It was. I like the way Seth described it. It was a scavenger hunt pogo trick thing.
Right. They had to go all over New York and do all kinds of tricks on their pogo
stick. I think they went into Jersey, too.
Yeah, I think they did.
Yeah. So basically, there were two different teams of pogoers, and they were given a list of tricks and challenges to do around New York City in one day. And they had point totals for how many of the things they could pull off, and whoever got the most points in the end won what looked like about $40.
I'm just going to say, pogoing over a New York City cab is pretty impressive.
Yeah, well, they did a number of different things that was like, wow, that's kind of gutsy. Yeah.
When they pogoed off of the side of the city buses, that's the one that just blew
while
my
they're moving.
Mind. While the bus was moving,
My question is, were they able to do the control-alt jump?
Oh, the Super Pogo? Yeah, yeah, like in Commander Keen, he can go super high. Man, they could go high.
They could go very high.
And they did a number of different cool trick thingies. A lot of them were just little dumb things that were on the list of things they could get points for. But it was a lot of fun. And if you don't mind listening to a few vulgar words here and there, it was actually pretty fun to watch.
You could probably turn the volume down on it and just watch it.
Is there, what's the name?
It was more visual than
What's the name of that company that takes out all the, something like Cinema Angel or...
Something like that, yeah.
You know, go to that company and get their version of it where it cuts out all the foul language and watch that one. And you can even watch it with your kids. And we enjoyed it anyway. It was worth the 45-minute break.
Mm-hmm.
So that was exciting. Okay, so before we move on, let's hear a quick word from this week's sponsor.
If you're a parent...
All right, kids, let's watch this presumably harmless pogo stick video.
You know there's nothing more important about raising children than protecting them from casual, soul-damaging swear words.
Bro, pogo, ultimate, pizza man.
That's why the Cinema Angel app is here to defend your family from vulgarity and the foul-mouthed pogo stick culture corrupting today's youth. With Christ-like precision, Cinema Angel transforms all your favorite cuss words into bland Christianese. Phrases like,
yeah bro, it's like when hits the fan,
become,
yes brother, it's like when life storms rage,
or even,
he's a beepin' moron and I just don't know why,
becomes,
bless his heart, it's a God thing.
Turn on Christian bubble mode to transform,
no way man, he just pulled off a beepin' flip gainer,
into,
no way man, he just fixed up a chip gainzer.
Studies show that nearly 80% of children 8 and older know how to use modern technology to unscramble a bleep. So don't compromise your children's eternity. Start today by downloading the Cinema Angel app on Android and other God-fearing mobile platforms.
Hey, you and Noah did something exciting.
Did we?
Well, not really, but...
Yeah, it was pretty exciting, I guess.
I know, y'all went to
a
huge gas station.
Oh, that was exciting. So basically, me and Noah decided to go down to Texas, and we stopped at this big gas station, and then we drove back. That's the way I remember it. I don't know.
It was something like that.
I think there were some other things that happened in the middle, but yeah. So anyway, true backstory, me and Noah decided to go back down. Well, for me, it was back down. Noah, it wasn't. It was his first time this year. You may remember from a couple of episodes back that I went down to the Houston, Texas area to help with the Hurricane Harvey storm relief. And
yes. And
me and Noah decided to go back down last week and to do some more work. And so we drove down all day Thursday, right?
Yep, pretty much all day.
We took about a 7.5-hour trip and made it into about a 10-hour trip. I don't even know how. It just kind of happened. There was some sort of warehouse tour thing in the middle there that happened.
And then a long drive down through the factory area along the coast.
Yeah, we kind of took the I wouldn't call it scenic because it was mostly just natural gas plants and stuff. But anyway,
I think that would have been fascinating.
It actually is fascinating because it's just these huge miles after miles of piping.
Wow.
And you just have to sit back and wonder, like, the amount of human hours and effort it took to make that much piping, you know, and put it out there. Yeah, it was kind of mind-blowing. But I mean, let's be honest, Noah's favorite part of that whole trip was probably going to the warehouse.
I don't know. Mini golf was pretty fun.
Mini golf. That's right.
Mini golf.
Hey, we haven't heard the mini golf stories.
Okay, so the hotel that me and Noah stayed at Thursday night after the long drive and warehouse tour and driving through all the pipes, we didn't drive through the pipes, we drove around the pipes, in between them. And we stayed at this hotel.
That had complimentary mini golf.
That's right.
But they skimped out on breakfast, I heard. But the mini golf was good.
It wasn't that bad. They had pancakes and cereal and apples and some sort of hard-boiled egg or something another.
We're not really sure what it was. It was something like kind of like hard-boiled egg. But in any case, yeah, this hotel down in Galveston, Texas, the island, that's where we were staying for the week, the weekend, I guess, had complimentary mini golf, sort of, if you want to call it that.
How many holes were there?
It was actually 18. Full 18.
Wow.
Yeah. But let's just say, y'all remember back when we went to our mini golf grand opening thing in Benton.
Yes.
Yeah.
When they were still working on it.
It was a little rough.
Yes.
This place was kind of similar. Okay. It was a little rough, but they weren't working on it. There
Did
were a lot
have
of like
turf on all the holes.
Yeah. It was sort really of. Bad, cheap turf. Like it was really low end quality. And on some of it, it wasn't really tacked in right. So if you hit your ball, it might go underneath the carpet. Which did happen at least once or twice.
Do you suppose this had anything to do with the fact that there had been a hurricane a month earlier?
I kind of doubt
no,
it.
No, I don't think the hurricane made that one any worse. There were some like arbitrary things. Like there were like things that were set in the middle of the little greens that were like completely arbitrary. They didn't do anything to like help you hit your ball into the hole. Like, there'd be, like, little ramps and little holes you could hit your ball through. But, like, in a normal mini golf place, that, like, takes your ball down a little passageway and shoots it towards the hole, you know?
Yeah.
Not these ones. They were just, like, randomly put in the middle. Like, if you hit it over this ramp, it literally does nothing. and then there were just, like, random rocks that people had set in the middle of the greens for your ball to bounce off of.
They were pretty rocks, though.
There were some nice rocks, but you could literally just pick them up and move them if they were in your way. I mean, it was like, well, there's no real point in this. So,
and there were a few places where it was obviously there should have been something there, and there wasn't.
Yeah, like maybe a hurricane had blown that away.
Probably maybe 5 years ago.
Yeah, Hurricane Ike blew that one away.
That's actually quite possible.
Yeah, it is. But in any case, it was a little, not the greatest mini golf course in the world, but hey, it was complimentary.
Yeah,
so
I mean, I didn't see any other hotels that had mini golf courses.
No.
So
was there anyone else playing
mini golf? No, we had the whole course.
Yeah. And the other people that were at that hotel didn't look like they were there to have fun. I'm just being honest. It wasn't the world's greatest.
I don't remember seeing anybody hardly.
There were a few people that were like kind of just, I don't know what they were doing. I didn't ask. I'm not sure.
It's better not to ask.
But in any case, we got through that evening and we slept well enough and we got to sleep the next few nights actually in Galveston First Baptist Church, which is kind of in the downtownish area of Galveston. So that was kind of cool. We got to go walk around the downtown and it's a really cool little islandy, touristy, palm tree, Texas-y place. The main thing we got to do while we were down there in Texas is got to go work on a few different houses that had been flooded and affected by the storm. So let's see, Noah, we started on the first day we went in and we helped tear out some stuff in a bathroom that needed to be teared out. Tore out? Teared out.
Torn out.
Torn or tore?
Torn. With torn. An N.
Okay. Torn out. And help carry that stuff out and make that big pile of debris that we saw a lot of. We saw some areas with some very big piles of debris. Dickinson area in particular was pretty bad. So we did that in one house and went over to another house and there was a linoleum floor that needed to be torn out. Okay, torn out. Torn out. So we went into this house with the linoleum and me and Noah had to do our best to figure out a way to scrape it out. It was me, Noah, and a few other guys. And that linoleum was stuck hard, wasn't it, Noah?
Yeah, but I mean, isn't that pretty much normal for linoleum?
I think it is. Yeah, especially old linoleum. The problem is like if it's old, then it's also brittle. And as you start tearing it up, it just breaks.
Right.
And so instead of having one big piece of linoleum to tear out, you have like 10 million little pieces. So we started getting our crowbars and working it out slowly but surely. It took us pretty much all afternoon, but it was just one room in one kitchen area. It wasn't even that big of a room, but it took us that long to get all the linoleum out. But it had to come up because it had all been hit with flood water and there was moisture underneath it.
I'm sure that they appreciated it.
Yeah. I think it would have helped if there had been more moisture underneath it, though.
I think so.
Because it was still stuck pretty darn good.
We were thinking about flooding it again.
Yeah, we were like, you know, if we just put the water hose in here, maybe that would loosen it up a little. Yeah, but it took some effort and patience, but we got it out of there. The next day, let's see, where'd we go the next day?
The next day, we went to Dickinson?
Dickinson. I think it's Dickinson, yeah. And that's where we had a house that we needed to do the same thing, and we kind of gutted it. But then we found another linoleum floor.
Yep.
That was really disappointing.
Garage.
Yeah. But then a miracle happened.
There was concrete over the linoleum.
That's right. Somebody had concreted over the linoleum, so we didn't have to pull it out.
Why didn't we think of that?
I know. I was like, we could have done that at the house the day before. Just concrete over. So we were actually kind of grateful that we didn't have to pull that out. So that's pretty much a couple of the highlights. Oh, we do need to mention the gas station again, though, because that was amazing. Yep.
Texas City has a giant gas station called...
Oh, it's not just Texas City.
Yeah, it's in several places, but the one we stopped at was.
Yep. A giant gas station
called
Bucky's.
Yep.
Bucky's. Bucees. And it's like an amusement park, man. Like, you park in the parking lot and they have a tram that comes and gets you and takes you up to it, and it has like guided tours throughout it. I mean, okay, it's not
quite
that bad.
It even has the person
but,
with the broom and the dustpan that's just going around sweeping
things
up.
Yeah, they have
a
mascot that just walks around and takes pictures with kids. I mean, this gas station was huge.
Wow.
It was a tourist attraction all on its own.
Did they have tar-scented asphalt?
Probably.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, though, it was a pretty exciting place. It may not be all that I'm making out to be, but it was pretty darn amazing. So if you're ever in Texas, stop at Bucky's. You will not be disappointed.
I'm going.
Next.
I don't know. After we keep talking it up, you might be a little disappointed.
No, never. So... it was a fun trip. We got back on late Saturday, at least Sunday night, and we were glad that we went. So, in the meantime, what did Mama and Seth do?
Well, what did we do?
We went to a poultry show.
Yeah.
And we went and grilled.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's what we did.
At Lake Ouachita, which was really disappointing.
Ouachita was kind of nasty.
Oh, it was so low. It was so low, and there was scum everywhere. I should have just stopped at some little scummy pond along the way, and it would have been about the same sort of trip.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's okay. The grill was good. The food was good that we cooked, and we enjoyed the company. So it was all right. Ours was pretty boring compared to theirs.
Yeah.
We didn't stop at any
gas station.
We didn't stop at any giant gas stations, and we didn't pull up
not
one piece of linoleum. And no mini golf, no.
Me and Caleb agreed, though, if we start a mini golf course, we're going to try and make it as many obstacles that are poorly designed as possible.
Yes. No, we were talking about this. The perfect design for a mini golf would be like the redneck yard debris collector guy, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's how I want to theme my mini golf course, is it just looks like the redneck...
A dump theme?
Yeah, a dump. A dump theme would be good.
So we should just have one in our studio.
Well, we could do a mini golf in our studio.
I think we should.
Okay.
I want one.
We'll work on that. I dare you to dig a hole in our bedroom and see what happens. But anyway.
Nah, we'll just use a ramp.
Okay. All right. We'll get back to everybody on this. This is going to be exciting.
I like the idea of a guy on a lawnmower as one of the obstacles because it's artificial turf.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we had a sponsor who did something about that. Yeah. We're having a lot of fun here. Do we want to answer some questions?
Should we answer previous questions and or give the answer to the answers that we had answered last time on that episode that disappeared from the answers from last week's questions?
The episode that got away, let's just mention those questions and see if we can recap
and then
them
go
very
back
quickly.
And listen to it and you'll find the answer.
I don't think anybody can go back and listen to it.
It's gone.
We lost it.
Seth, what questions did we answer last week?
Well, one of the questions that we answered last week is, did Jesus have acne? And I think we pretty much all agreed with, you know, biblical sound doctrine here.
Yeah.
Setting the standard that, yes, Jesus had acne because, he suffered through everything that we had to suffer through. So clearly Jesus had acne.
He was a man of all sorrows.
Yeah. Only Jesus can truly understand our hurts and sorrows because he had acne.
Okay, so that one's done.
That one was simple.
Let's pick another one.
Who asked that question?
That was Chad.
All right.
Corey asked if pickles belong on a Chick-fil-A sandwich.
Oh, yeah.
And going back to our biblical, you know, doctrine here, I think we all agreed as pickle Baptists, it's okay, and that it might should even be.
Yeah, and our church is not a pickle Baptist church. So, I mean, we agree that this is a doctrinal issue that there can be some gray area on. But generally, our family, our understanding of scripture that, yes, it's okay to have pickles on your sandwich.
Well, I think, though, we all also agree that love is the ultimate condiment.
That's true.
To have on your sandwich. So
and
if pickles are going to offend someone, and that you should never, you know, you should go with it, not to hurt that person.
That's right.
Yeah.
So instead of ordering a spicy chicken sandwich with pickles, order a spicy chicken sandwich with love.
With love.
Which is actually on the menu at Chick-fil-A.
Is it like over with the ketchup containers? Or
yeah, you can get it. It's right next to the spicy Pete's stuff. Yeah. Next question?
Yeah, so another question we had was also from Chad, and that was, if Peter Piper picked a pair of peppers from your garden, would you be mad?
Yes, I would.
And Mama, you said no, you wouldn't.
I don't remember why I said that, though.
So now you're changing it to yes, I would?
Well, I think our answer was we didn't have any peppers in our garden, so it wouldn't really make us mad.
Well, that and I said that a gardener always accounts for loss.
Oh, yeah.
Some loss. And so I guess you can just kind of write it off.
I just said it was a community garden.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess we need a little more detail in this question before we can really answer it. I mean, did he need the peppers? Was he hungry? Did he have some right to take them? I mean,
did he ask first?
Yeah.
Can you get back with us on that, Chad?
Yeah.
We'll try to answer that a little better.
Okay. Was that all?
I think we had one more, and it was when people thought that the world was flat, did they think that there was a top and bottom side to the earth, or was there just a top side? Because, I mean, if it's flat, then there has to be something on the bottom, right?
Sure.
Yeah. Well, so what did people way back in the olden days think, or perhaps still today?
I think we decided, well, maybe me, I said this, but I think that would have been the understanding if that was the underworld,
the
like
underworld.
Hell.
Yeah.
Like
where the evil is and the devil and everything. So, yeah.
So, yeah, there is an underside, but you don't want to go there.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the answer.
It's a place where you eternally have your peppers stolen.
So, yeah, that was
That's
all
where
of our,
mean old number 9 lives.
Yeah.
And perhaps episode 48.
Episode 48 went to the underworld. Also known as Area 51.
Hey, we can't say that on the podcast.
Okay. We know too much. We don't want the government after us.
Again.
All right. So I think that was all our questions.
Yeah. Well, from that week, although I got plenty more questions we can talk about.
You want to answer a couple more?
Yeah, let's get to something new.
All right. Something new.
Okay, so Chad was just on some kind of crazy commenting streak. I don't know what you were doing, Chad. Maybe you should...
you should really go spend some time with your wife and kids instead of just replying to Facebook posts.
But anyway, Chad wants to know, why is it that we can record a record? Why is record and record spelled the same? I mean, what's with this English language here?
That would take a lot more time to explain than what we have on this podcast.
Actually, I don't know that it's that hard. I think that it probably comes from the idea that you recorded to a record, so it's the same word, essentially.
But why aren't they the same word? Why don't you record? A record a record?
Maybe we just pronounce it wrong.
Which one? Which one is the correct? Which one do you? I'm confused. Which one is the correct pronunciation?
I don't know. We'll have to ask the English Nazis.
Okay. Somebody go to EnglishNazi.net.
Don't do that.
This is one of those moments where the thoughts and opinions of Caleb Hardwick do not reflect that of Hardwick Sound.
I was thinking find more like an entomologist, but yeah.
Okay.
Entomologist?
EntomologyNazi.com.
I thought that was insects.
Etymology.
Oh,
which one is
it? Entomology, like you know,
study of ints?
I think it's entomology. Is it etymology?
Yeah, isn't it a study of ints?
Go to whatisentomology.com and find out. I have a feeling somebody's going to find out for us real fast now, actually.
And if it's something, you know, not good.
Entomology is the study of insects.
Entomology is study of insects. What is, it's etymology, is it not?
What about entomology?
Study of language?
I don't know. I'm not looking it up.
Somebody will find out.
I'm still trying to figure out how to spell it.
In the meantime, though, Chad had another question about why are car seats called car seats? Because aren't all seats in a car a car seat? But specifically, you know, like child seats or car seats?
Could it be the case that we've just shortened it from children's car seat?
Maybe.
And for that matter, I have no opinion.
Why do cars not sit in car seats? I don't know.
We'll ask Corey.
Corey, yeah. Tell us why car seats don't, or why cars don't sit in car seats, and why they're called car seats.
I'm sure he'll have something punny to say about that.
And we'll answer your or read your pun.
Because they sit on sofa something punny. I don't know.
Segway.
All right, so let's move into our final segment of the show that we like to call Sound Advice, the segment of the show where we give you, the listener, some real-life advice that you can use in your everyday life. So, what?
I don't have any.
You don't have any sound advice?
I haven't thought of any.
Okay.
I'll sit here and think about it.
Your advice is stick it to the pumice people.
I don't like that advice.
Okay.
What's Noah's sound advice? Since we're, you know,
make sure that your hotel has complimentary mini golf.
I like that idea. Yeah. What if you can't find any? Bring your own and just play around the hotel.
Yeah. There are plenty of obstacles.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that idea. You like, you got to chip shot it out of the.
You got to get it into the elevator before the doors close.
Yeah. There you go. I like it. All right. So I think this week me and Seth had something of a shared sound.
Can we make this a YouTube series where we just play mini golf in random places?
I like that idea. Without asking permission? Yeah.
At least for the premise of the video.
Yeah. Yeah.
Caleb, go ahead and we'll get to my sound advice.
Okay. Well, yeah. This is sort of shared because it kind of has to do with both of us.
Yeah, but it's not going to be shared because it's going to be different. I guarantee you.
Yeah, I think you're right. So my sound advice this week comes from a humorous anecdote that happened yesterday. We were at the grocery store, and it was in the parking lot, and I was loading up the groceries. And it just so happened that as I put in a pack of 24-can Coca-Cola cans, as I put
24-pack of Coca-Cola cans.
Thank you. I was trying to figure out what I misspoke there. But in any case, I threw that thing in there, and when I did, suddenly the car just went... and
thank goodness for pop filters.
Thank goodness. Yeah. Basically the whole car just got full of this puff of kind of pollen-y looking resin. What do you call it, Seth? Do you know?
Fire retardant.
Oh. Fire retardant. That's the word I'm looking for. Basically what had happened is when I put in the pack of Coke, it shoved Seth's fire extinguisher up against the back of the seat and shut it off.
I just want to clarify, this is not where I put the fire extinguisher at.
Yeah. I just want to clarify, the car was not on fire, and it made a big mess. It made a very big mess. So as this happened...
All over our groceries.
Yeah. Fortunately, the groceries were in a plastic bag, so it wasn't a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was kind of awkward because there were like people in the parking lot who just like looked at me and were like, oh no, what happened? And I'm just like standing there just calmly like...
what just happened?
I think I might have put off the fire extinguisher. Very calmly.
I wish I could have seen this so bad.
Yeah, it was kind of awkward. But You know, we got it home, we vacuumed it out. It's okay. But basically my sound advice is that if you have a fire extinguisher in your car, well, for one thing, make sure the pin is in it. That's a good idea. And just generally don't throw stuff in on top of it.
Yeah, and I'm going to add to that. When you're moving the fire extinguisher, make sure you set it in a way that, one, keeps it from moving around, and two, is facing upwards so the pin doesn't fall out.
Yeah. Yeah, please learn from my mistake. You do not want to be the guy standing in the Kroger's parking lot covered in fire retardant.
Or even better, have your firefighter brother move the fire extinguisher for you if it,
yes.
You know.
Well, I have one question.
Capacity to do so.
Does it have a pin in it now?
Yes, it does. Okay. And the pin is in a proper position where it will not fall out.
Phew, I feel better about this.
Yeah. So there you go. We're changing one fire extinguisher incident at a time and making the world a better place.
All right. Now it's time for my sound advice.
Oh, you got more sound advice, huh?
Oh, yeah. That was just adding on to yours. Okay. My sound advice is get a fire extinguisher and put it in your car.
That actually is very good advice.
Yeah, that's good advice. As long as
put a pin in it, though. Make sure it has a pin in it.
Yeah. Just make sure you use proper care or you will be doing a lot of vacuuming. As I may or may not know. So, all right, folks, that is episode number 49.
Wait. What about Mama's sound advice?
I really don't have any advice this week. I'm just fresh out. It was all in episode 48.
Yeah. Yep. If you want a lot of really good sound advice, go to the underworld, find episode 48, and get sound advice from him.
Hey, what was my sound advice last week? Because I think it was actually pretty good.
Yeah, I don't remember. What a shame. All right, folks, any final words before we sign off for episode 49?
Yes, Seth, we know you're using a straw.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it means my Dr. Cans Pepper is empty.
It means we've gone too long.
That's the sign the show is about over, when Seth's can of Dr. Pepper is
I feel like
empty.
That's a great noise to end all the episodes on.
Yeah.
It's like that end noise. It should always be that.
Hey, guys, you know what I put in the oven right before I came upstairs?
Ooh, ice cream?
Ice cream.
not ice cream. I put pie in the oven.
Oh,
cherry
nice.
Or apple?
Both.
Oh, that's even better. What's my favorite kind of ice? I mean, my favorite kind of pie? Both.
And we have some vanilla ice cream in the refrigerator.
Ooh.
Fantastic.
So I think we should go downstairs and have some.
I think we should. So before we do that, we just want to remind everybody this one last thing. Remember, folks,
stay safe and don't be stupid.
We'll talk at you again
next week.
Especially
with fire extinguishers.
Yes.
Don't be stupid with fire extinguishers. We'll talk at you again next week. I'm Caleb Hardwick signing off.
I mean, you got to admit, it's like the perfect example of what not to do.
Do you want to sign off?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Bye.
Adios.
And that's the cue to end the episode. See you later, everybody. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.